Already things going on, potential for things to come. Share some of Randy's testimony with a mom and with a young man I met with. So in relation to that, so it really fills my heart because I love y'all deeply. And through Jesus, you know, it doesn't matter if somebody's a member of this church. It doesn't matter if they come to this church, whatever. You know, we reach out and God puts us in connection with a lot of different people. And so I'm thankful for that and thankful for that. But I've been praying about revival. For a preacher, revival time is very frustrating. Because the church and us preachers and us church people have turned revival into something that it's not, okay? Just because you put a sign out front and says revival services are at 7 p.m. this week, or you put it in the bulletin, or you put it in the newspaper, or do all the gyrations to get just the right evangelists or just the right preachers or just the right music, that some way we can put it together, that's not what biblical revival is. And as I prayed about that, you know, last Sunday we looked in Scripture about relationship. And one thing I either, God waited till today, or I just was supposed to share twice, but I didn't get to share, was, you know, just like Jessica, I had no idea what she was doing today or saying that, but, you know, what a time of asking God to revive us personally is that time of reflection, that time of really checking up where we're at, that time of checking our relationship. And one thing I had in my message last Sunday I wanted to share was, in thinking about your relationship, I want to ask you this question. And really, hear me. If you don't hear anything else I'll say the rest of this day, because I think often about my relationship with the Lord in respect to this. Is your relationship with God the relationship that He wants? Is it the relationship that He wants, like He wants it, how He has planned? Or is your relationship based on your circumstances? Or is your relationship based on your habits? Is your relationship based on just kind of, you know, I have a whole lot of things I wish I could stop doing, and I have a whole lot of things I wish I could start doing from Him, and I just continue to go through that cycle. But I go back to the first question. Is your relationship like He wants it? One thing I was going to share, this past Monday, on the 24th, it was my and Sandra's 29th wedding anniversary. Y'all should give her a hug and pray for her more. Any person, wife alone, to put up with me for 29 years. And think about that relationship. Now, is that relationship being all those 29 years what I wanted it to be or what I thought it should be? No. Has it been for Sandra? Absolutely not. We made this determination that we'd entered into a covenant with God and that God would be the head of our lives and the head of our marriage, and that the relationship that He wanted with us and the relationship that He wanted for our marriage would be the relationship that when it just makes you mad as fire and you want to give up, that was the relationship. It all comes back to that. So, we're tonight. Don't you love the advance notice? But tonight, began praying that God would begin to either revive your relationship with Him, make your relationship like He wants with you. There's no banner out front. There's nothing in the bulletin. There's nothing in the newspaper. It's basically going to be, in perspective, kind of a regular Sunday night. Now, I love all you dearly, no matter what you're doing or how you're coming to church, but I say this often. Y'all, what I ask as your pastor and what I suggest that may help your relationship, because it's the only thing that helped mine before I was walking in the relationships I should, is that, you know, if you could give His church 4 hours a week, just challenge you, ask, I'd even beg you. But I want to beg you because of those three young people that I met with this week. Because everything that's going on in their lives, and one I didn't meet with, everything has got to do with a lot of things that have happened over time. It's not one thing. And so, 4 hours a week, man, you need to have your You need to be in Sunday school and have your children in Sunday school, no matter what their age is. Just begins there. Worship time, there's two. Some of you got that down pat. Some of you still working on that. Let's come back tonight. One reason I'm doing this is we fill this church for a great revival services. But there's no revival happen because the next Sunday night, that's what breaks the pastor's heart, y'all. I think it breaks God's heart. The church full on a Sunday night for great preaching and great singing and a great time together. And then the next Sunday night, it's that Sunday night crowd, you know. So tonight, and for the next few Sunday nights, really this Sunday night, next Sunday night, we'll take a break from Mother's Day, and we'll challenge you, though, through our revival time to do something on Mother's Day that night. We won't be here, and then the next Sunday night. So at least for those three, tonight, Brother John Green will be with us. Doesn't really matter who's going to be with us the next two. But I am just so burdened about our relationship with God. And I want mine to be what he wants, you know. And I want to spend not these Sunday nights. Listen, if it's about you just kind of show up for revival these Sunday nights, then this probably isn't what for you. But what I'm saying is that I want him to show us what he wants. And not for this church, y'all, but for y'all. Because I'm telling you, these are good young people. Good young people, that they just, circumstances and time and whatever is gone. I'm not going for that fourth hour. I just gave you sign up on Wednesday night. And that's really, and I'll just be honest with you, and I love you enough to be honest with you, when I see people growing into the relationship with the Lord, that's what brings them. So that's why I don't really beg you much or even fuss at you or a lot about being at church. But as one fact for sure, when somebody's relationship's growing, they just tend to be. And then thank God for these little gifts. Because, you know, this happens all the time. Sunday, we don't have a lot of people on Sunday night. Should you have Sunday night service, you know? I can't say there have been times I'm thinking, man, I think I'd just rather do something different. Y'all all right? Last Sunday night, there's a young man that I'd never seen in my life with his son about this high. And I find out that his wife's homesick. And you know why he's here? Because this church has done away with Sunday night service because nobody comes. And he looked at me afterward. He said, preacher, he said, I just need all I can get. He said, I just need all I can get. And had no idea what my week would be like. So all week, and y'all got children, grandchildren. I got a new grandchild. All week, I see that little boy. And I'm thinking, wonder what impact that can have if that continues on. Turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. I thought I was going to call this Sunday night revival, but it all kind of goes against what's in my heart of what I said about revival. So, but tonight, asking God to begin to do something. We spent the end of our prayer time Wednesday after Bible study down here at the altar praying for this Sunday night. Challenge you to come join us, be a part. 1 John chapter 1, if you physically will stand with me. Now, in God's time this hour, I usually do things in such, we do things in our habit of order. I've got some awesome news and awesome blessing that I need to share, but I just don't feel like I need to share it until the end of service today, okay? So please, I'm begging you, if you have to throw something at me, do not let us leave, okay? You know how I get, okay? Don't let me leave without sharing the good news, all right? 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. We've been in this passage in and out for a few weeks now. That which was in the beginning, which we have heard, we've seen with our eyes, we've looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son, Christ Jesus Christ. And look at verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. Dear God, I beg of you, I plead on the blood of Jesus, that, Lord, you would teach us about true joy. Lord, you would show us joy without Jesus and show us joy with Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, again, all this Sunday night, what God's going to do. The other thing that I'm convinced, and you can just call me crazy, but I've come to the conclusion, what is there to do on Sunday night, okay? I know people who dread going to work on Sunday night. That's what they do. They sit around the house, or they go do stuff they dread coming. You know what? I understand you Friday nights, man, work's over. Let's go to the fish camp. Let's go do something. I understand Saturday, but what? So we're really envisioning, some of you, God has even really started in your heart too, our Sunday nights. We're going to begin to do some outreach pretty much after we finish this month of May. We're going to do some outreach Sunday nights with the thought of, hey, maybe I can get somebody to come to an outreach event on Sunday night. The rest of the week's been taken up, and give you an opportunity to put some of this word in action. So I'm excited about the thought of the Sunday nights, the summer, you know, just excited about what's going on. So I'm trying my best to work on a message about being revived, about everything. And I've got all these scriptures, all these passages, and then I keep going back, and you or God eventually just kind of drags me back, just says, no, hold on a second. He drives me back to verse 4 in 1 John chapter 1, the verse that we left off. Last time we looked at it, the fellowship, he drove me back there. And you know, I'm just going to tell you how I felt, y'all. I did not feel like preaching about joy, okay? Did not feel like it, wasn't feeling it. So the week I described to you, I'm thinking, hey, you take the three I'm talking about, then you add in the medical things, the physical things going on with people, the battles, and I'm thinking, you know, hey, I'm not sure I can pull off joy today. I'm not sure, God, that's where you want us to be, but I am more convinced right now this morning, and that's how God often does it. I don't get that feeling till I stand up here, that it is exactly where God had taken us, exactly where God wants us, and exactly when we need to understand that there's a statement there. And really this morning, in the short time we've got, we're going to look at two words out of the Bible, out of this verse 4, and we're going to look at the word joy and look at the word full. I stand amazed at what God is trying to explain to us in this passage to understand about joy. Because I'm telling you, I sat down with some parents that are just really concerned about a child, and I'm very concerned about them, and it's all got to do with a relationship, and all we can do is pray and trust God that God will move, and I believe He is going to move. But there's not joy in that. Amen? When you got problems with a child, that's heartbreak, that's sorrow, that's, God, worry. I met with a young man who immediately told me that he's not religious. He's not in our church. He said, I'm not a religious person. And I looked over at him. I said, well, I'm not either. I said, I don't really like religion. I said, religion, people take the Bible, the Quran, other books, and they come up with what they want to do. I said, I got a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how the conversation started. Can you imagine where I went from that conversation, where the conversation goes? And it is, there's not a lot of joy there, because I'm telling you, as I told this young man, he is farther being drawn into the darkness and the evil that the Bible talks about this world than he has any idea. He's afraid now, but he's not terrified. So there's no joy in that. Spend time riding down the road with somebody I love dearly and just listening and just trying to ask questions. And you know how it is with young people? Man, it is hard to talk to. Amen? I spent 50 minutes. I had somebody tell me one time, it's like the way you got somebody to try to get them to talk, it's like hitting tennis balls. And you may hit like 100 tennis balls at them. They'll never hit one back. You know what I'm talking about? They ain't, you know, it's like talking to a child sometimes, isn't it? I hit tennis balls for 50 minutes. Before I got anything. And then, you know, I realized, I said, my goodness, how are we going to speak into anybody's life? Because I'm telling you, nobody's devoting 50 minutes to most young people to get on the point where they want to talk, right? So then Here we go. This must be a prosperity gospel. This must be a prosperity verse scripture we're going to talk about this morning, that he writes, into us, that he wants our joy, and our joy may be full. Well, now that's difficult, y'all. Mike, that's a little difficult for me this morning. I need to understand joy. So I look at the word here in the Bible and listen to what joy means. It means cheerfulness. There was some of that this week, but not a lot. Calm delight. There's a gladness. It means it's like an exceeding joyful time. In the Bible, other words that's used to describe this joy is to rejoice, to be glad, and I love this one, to be calmly happy. That's what joy means. And I'm like, Lord, help me. I still don't understand what you're trying. What do you want us to see about joy? How's that go to our relationship? How's that go to anything we're supposed to do? And then it was almost like, well, let me remind you, I showed you a few weeks back when you were studying, I showed you what the worldly definition of joy was. I think, oh yeah, God, let me go back and find that. Here's the world's definition of joy. Listen, you can read it for yourself. Just to make sure I hadn't pulled it out of some wrong place, I looked it back up. It's the emotion that's evoked by well-being. So the world says joy comes when there's well-being. If you're battling cancer, battling some rare disease, just got hurt, something's going on, there ain't a whole lot of well-being you're feeling, amen? It comes when there's success. Man, sometimes I don't feel very successful as a man, a friend, don't feel very successful as a husband, don't feel very successful as a father. Y'all with me? And so the world says that, hey, you've got well-being, everything's good, okay. That's joy. It says you having success. That's joy. It also means to have good fortune. Or listen to this last one. Or just the prospect of possessing what you desire. Well, I tell you, that leaves most of us out often during the week. Amen? Those circumstances. So what the world would say is, oh, sorry, at this point in your life, this particular week, Ray, just not a whole lot of joy going on. That's life. That's what, you know, Jesus died on the cross. My family gets sometimes aggravated because my, you know, they're under persecution, trouble's going. I said, well, remember, you know, they killed Jesus. You know, Daddy, you said that. I got that scripture. Come with something else. But where's the joy? And then as I was reminded, y'all, we've got to go to the Bible for the true definition of joy. We got to go to the Bible for the true definition of relationship. We got to go to the Bible for a true definition of revival. And that's the problem we have. We're basing our relationship with God and how we're living our lives based on too much of our circumstances, our past, what we just are comfortable doing, and then what we do is this. This is what we all do. We intermingle this worldly joy in, because listen, we're not feeling the joy, amen? This just doesn't feel like a joyful time. Dennis, amen? It's not feeling like a joyful time. And so what we do is we'll intermingle this worldly joy. You know, I know, hey, let's go eat somewhere we really like. Let's go do something we really like. Let's go over here and do this, you know. And I'm going to experience some joy because, hey, I need that joy he's talking about. And if I can't trust him, or if he really isn't putting the joy that I need right in now, I'll go out and I'll find me some joy. Amen? I think every person that I'm describing to you, and pray for those three unnamed on my prayer list, that's the case. They're looking for joy and they're just finding it in doing other things. Amen? That the world says is joy. But we got to go to the Bible. And listen, the world has never seen anyone who knew joy and understood joy and lived a life of joy more than our Lord Jesus Christ. Never has been. But the Bible says, turn me to Isaiah 53. Oh, I can't wait for you to get here. Isaiah 53:1. But the Bible tells us something about Jesus that I guarantee every one of you needs to hear. And you need to hear this, and you wanted to hear this, you didn't even know, okay, this morning. Isaiah 53, read with me in the Bible. Look what the Bible says. It says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's kind of like when I pray for these next weeks. Remember, it's not this Sunday night that God will use Wednesday night. He'll use Sunday morning. He'll use Sunday night. He'll do things in the Word, in your personal life, what we're talking about, to revive you, to make your joy be full. But it's his joy. Verse 2 says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He have no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah's talking about Jesus. Now look in verse 3. It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Do you realize what the Bible say? This joy that Jesus is talking about, that he wants us to be full of, is something that's totally independent from what the world calls joy. And what he's coming on here saying, he said, listen, let me tell you about my life. What Jesus is saying, this is what I experienced in my life. I was a man of sorrows, and I was acquainted with grief, and I was despised. And oh, aren't y'all thankful this morning? Man, I'm thankful that Jesus says, my joy is not dependent upon my circumstances. My Jesus was a man who had sorrows, and he had grief, and he had trouble, and he worried about his children and his grandchildren. He worried about his life. If there were things that were going on, that's who Jesus is. When I began to understand that, I began to think about that word joy. And I read this, and I want to just read it to you as I studied it. I read that it said, joy is something that's very deep and profound, something that affects the whole entirety of us. In other words, it comes to the point we understand, we look at joy in the Bible, there's only one way to truly have joy, and that's when Jesus Christ is on our minds and in our lives and consuming everything. If you would, when our relationship's what Jesus wants it to be and not what we're settling for. And then I read this. We think about the Lord Jesus, this joy he wants. We think about Jesus. Listen, he satisfies my mind. He satisfies my emotions. And he satisfies my every desire. Y'all, that's your test for relationship. Jessica, that's the checking up. Think about what he's saying is, what substitutes, what things that are coming that the world and you're using to satisfy your mind. And to make your emotions, to help you experience a little joy in the midst of all the trouble that you've got going on. And what is it else in the world that is satisfying any desire that we have? Oh man, I begin to understand that God is saying that joy through Jesus Christ is something that's totally, it's like, hey, it's impossible without being in that relationship. And with the very fact that God in his word and Jesus Christ wants to tell us that he wants that joy to be full, what he's telling us is that there's things in ourself and in our life and around us that is going to sap and take and pull all the joy out of us, and we need to be filled back up. Amen? And the only way you can fill it up is not, once again, by some event at church or anywhere else or some high and mighty excited time, but it's by understanding that, listen, it's a relationship. Listen, if you depended on revivals and Sunday to fill you up for when you're empty most of the time. Amen? It's a daily relationship, you know. I'm challenging you to see it. I mean, give him those 4 hours a week. He got 168. And see if he might use it to make an impact in your life. Or if nothing else, say, you know, I don't even really want to come to church. I don't really think I even have to come to church. But I know something that I'm more concerned about, my children, my grandchildren, the young people in my church and around me, that maybe it's the very thing that will make a difference. Maybe by the grace of God, the way I'm doing my relationships working with me, but it's not going to work with somebody I love dearly. And the Bible says when we fall in love and our relationship becomes with him, when we love him with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our might, we quickly move into the second commandment that says we love others as ourselves. I'm telling you right now, you might be fine with not being in the relationship that God calls you to be or even doing the things I challenge you to do to call you to do, but if you're truly in love, and that's a test of your relationship, you're going to care. I'm telling you what, I can't even remember that young boy's name, but Lord, when he's back tonight, I'm going to be trying to commit that name, because I'm telling you, God used in a time when I was thinking, what are we going to do, that God has reminded that I'm just like that father. I need all I can get. Amen? I need all I can get, and that's what Jesus is saying. He is, and to finish the quote, he is great. He and his great salvation include the whole personality, nothing less, and in him I am complete. Joy, in other words, is the response and reaction to our soul when we acknowledge Jesus Christ. That's what joy is. In Psalms 85, 6, here's the connection with the idea. Here's where you find the word revive in the Bible. In Psalm 85, 6, the Bible says, "Will thou not revive us again?" I had copied that verse trying to work on a message about revival and challenging and had not even noticed the second part of the verse says this. It says, "Will thou not revive us again?" And then it says, "That thy people may rejoice in thee." So the Bible's saying that, hey, we get false joy, we get caught up in things, there's sorrow in life, there's troubles all around us, we need reviving, we need filling back up. And his point is he wants to revive us, and he wants to, so that we can then make our rejoicing, and our rejoicing be in him and not in anything else. You know, I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm having a rough week, and I know, Susie, where I'm headed and try to eat lunch one day, you know? I've been looking at that tool over there, and I've been wanting to go see that movie, and I've been wanting to call up that friend. I've been wanting to do that thing, and it's all trying to get joy because I'm empty. I need reviving. I need that real joy, and I'm taking a false substitute all the time, and you are too. In Psalm 51 and verse 7 through 13, it says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness." In verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." In verse 12, it says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Man, I remember getting saved. I remember I'm about the third pew back. It's revival and at my home church, and I'm sitting here, and I'm telling you, you feel that draw of God, and I went, and they took me in the back, and Miss Ruth Stigall opened the Bible and shared Jesus with me, and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you what, there's a joy in that, a feeling that nothing else can give you. Amen. And here's what your relationship, when it's a relationship that God wants you to have, he wants to continue to give you that feeling, that joy, just amidst all, no matter what circumstances are. And then what he wants to do is he wants you to get excited about that joy. So I'm praying late last night, and I'm praying early this morning. Early this morning I'm praying. I joke about it, but you know, the day that everybody that told me and you they were coming shows up, Byron will get overflow, video overflow. Amen? So I'm praying by name. Oh, Lord, bring them. Lord, help them come. Help them. Because I know what the need is, y'all. It's a closer walk. And I don't want it to be something I say just to be saying it. But we all have the same greatest need. And that's a closer walk, a closer relationship with him. Hey, we need to experience that joy. Amen? Because every day, family and work and even church and school and people, God is saying, "You're not full." Amen? You're not full. And how are we set? I'll leave you with this question. Would you bow with me? I want you to think about this as we go in this invitation. Remember, the first question is simply this, and I'm not judging you. I don't know your circumstances, and I love you just the same no matter what. But here's the question God gave me, and I believe to give you. Is your relationship the relationship that he wants with you? Not the one that you've picked out and designed, but is it what he wants? And the second of all, the Bible's clear. We need to be revived. We get empty. We want to be full of this joy that we only scratched the surface this morning. But here's the question. How are you? So he's telling us we are created to need this joy through Jesus in our lives because of the sorrow and the hurt and despair. Is it his joy? Or are you taking substitutes apart from him? The real question this morning is maybe you haven't experienced that joy because you've never given your heart to Jesus. And this time of invitation, I'm going to be quiet and pray, and Jessica's going to lead us, and we're going to have a hymn of invitation. You can come and give your heart to Jesus. I pray many of you will come and just pray about your relationship with him. Because see, you can be revived today. You don't have to wait till tonight. I think it'll bring you back tonight. But you can be revived now. You can have some of that real joy to come in that you may not sense you need it because you're just so high and full of joy of this world. But there may be consequences right over the hill. Or the consequences may be an experience by your child or your grandchild or your friend or your neighbor right now. And they need to see you finding joy and peace and relationship where you need to be in Jesus. Lord, we give you this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Jessica. Hey, I remembered the good news. Man, Lord, thank you. I have to let you know that, pray for me because I do desire, and anything we decide to do, I've tried that. I have prayed and have sought godly counsel and we'll work together. But oftentimes my faith grows pretty thin and weak pretty quick. Okay, y'all all right? It really does. I start questioning. But I just have awesome and remind you, we just kind of threw out that years ago somebody brought us a projector. It's worked real good. Now we need another one. And that first seed gift, just a blessing to somebody that really, you know, wouldn't even, a lot going on in life and did that. I didn't even tell you, that same Sunday, a visitor. I mean, they were active in their church, but they were visiting here for another reason. And hand me a check going out the back door. And then this week, had a family call and gave $5,000. Now, some of you accountants and businessmen are saying, well, preacher, you said we need $4,000. I know. That's what I said. So God's blessed us with Ephesians 3:20 more. I guess we'll just get a better thing than we thought we'd get. But one neat thing about the last donation, the family, and if God's put a number in your heart, you better give it, and we'll put it back there in the system, okay? But listen, this is so special. This family, not all these are anonymous. This family, though, wanted to do this in honor of our choir and also of Deborah and Jessica's leadership when Deborah's been out, and Kay on the piano. So it was just a special gift, but they wanted to do it in light of that. So I'm thankful for that. So let's just give God a praise offering this morning. And because of God's gracious and his giving spirit, we won't be looking at the blurry projector for many weeks longer. I'm getting a thumb up from the booth in the back, okay? I may encourage you to come back tonight. There'll be things for your children. Bring somebody with you. Call somebody that wasn't here today. Come back. I know y'all are smart, you know. You know, obviously, one thing I'm hoping for this and praying is that it'll really grow as for our outreach Sundays, that you get that habit of begin coming on Sunday night, you know. But like I said, I'm about done with them 3-4 day revivals that don't end up in revival. Amen. So we'll just see what God does in this, and we'll do something else crazy next time too. Okay. Let's Marty, you close us in prayer. Hope to see you tonight at 6:00.